Now sit down and be quiet. It's my turn. Worship team, thank you for your help today. You did a great job. And if you come prepared to give tithe and offerings, there's a giving station in the back, a couple black boxes. You can fill out an envelope or however you do that and stick that in there. Let me just say a prayer over your finances. Father, we just thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. So we pray that you would bless every single person financially, cause them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many blondes do we have in here? I'm seeing a few of them. This is for you. So there was 80,000 blondes that met in a football stadium for a Blondes Are Not Stupid conference convention. So the leader says, we are all here today to prove to the world that blondes are not stupid. Can I have a volunteer? So a blonde gingerly works her way through the crowd and steps up to the stage. And the leader asks her, what is 15 plus 15? After 15 or 20 seconds, she says, 18. Obviously, everyone's a little disappointed. Then the 80,000 blondes start cheering, give her another chance, give her another chance. The leader says, well, since we've gone to the trouble of getting 80,000 of you in one place, and we have the worldwide press and global broadcast media here, well, I guess we can give her another chance. So he asks, what's 5 plus 5? After nearly 30 seconds, she eventually says, 90. The leader's quite perplexed. He looks down and just lets out a dejected sigh. Everyone's disheartened. The blonde starts crying. And then the 80,000 other blondes started to yell and wave their hands, shouting, give her another chance. Give her another chance. And the leader is unsure whether or not he's doing more harm than good, but eventually says, okay, just one more chance. What is 2 plus 2? And the girl closes her eyes, and after a whole minute, eventually she says, 4. And throughout the stadium, pandemonium breaks out as all 80,000 girls jump to their feet and wave their arms and stomp their feet and scream, give her another chance! Give her another chance! That's funny. I don't know. I don't care what you think about it. That's funny. Give her another chance. Ooh, man. Well, I spent the last 4 weeks, other than we had a special speaker last week. How many enjoyed Craig, by the way? You did a good job. Spent the last 4 sessions talking about God's plan for healing and health, and I fully intended to move on from that, but it dawned on me that I need to take at least one more session and tell you how you can get healed. We spent 4 sessions giving you 6 reasons to believe that God wants you well, physically, mentally, emotionally, in every part of your life, but we're particularly focusing on physical health, divine health. 6 reasons that God wants you well, that we can believe that, but we never really talked about how can I receive the healing that I need in my physical body. So that's what I want to share this morning. I want to give you actually 7 ways that you can receive divine healing, physical healing. Now, there's a lot of ways that we try to receive healing. We go to the medical community. There's various substances and oils and herbs and all kinds of things that we can use to try to find health and healing. And that's great. But what we've been looking at the last 4 weeks is that God himself is in the healing business as well. God's in the healing business. Is anybody excited about that besides me? That we serve a God who actually has a heart and a compassion and a desire to heal your physical body. If it's broken, if it's in pain, if you're sick and you have a disease going on, that God wants to set you free. Dan, can you give me just a little bit more volume? My voice is struggling a little bit this morning. But anyway, 7 ways from the Bible that you can receive healing. I just think that's wonderful. That God loves you and I so much that he did not give us just 1 way to get healed. He actually gave us 7 ways that we can receive divine healing. And so if 1 way isn't working, then we can use another way to try to receive the healing that I believe God wants for us. So seven ways to receive healing from God. Number one is taking God's word as medicine. I'm not going to say a single word about this, because I, as I studied it, I realized this is a whole message in itself, which I'm going to give. I don't know if I'll do it next week or sometime down the road, but we're going to spend a whole session on that alone, because it's so important. So we're going to move on to number two. Here's the second way that we can receive healing from God. It's just simply personal prayer. Just simply asking God to heal you. Just making that a petition that you bring to God. Say, God, I'm in pain. I have a disease. I'm hurting in some area of my body. And I'm asking you to come and relieve me and heal me and restore me to health. Now, there are so many scriptures in the Bible on God's desire to answer our prayers that I don't hardly even know where to start. So I just picked two or three of them this morning. Jeremiah 33:3 is one of them. It says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's God speaking to us. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Isn't it good to know that when we call on the Lord, He is going to answer us? You know, God's not sitting up there going, nah, 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 I can't hear you. No, He's listening. He's actively listening to His children, His kids. And when you talk to the Lord, all of heaven is listening to you. And then Psalms 18, verse 3, David says this, I will call on the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When we call out to God, then God saves us from our enemies. I want to tell you, sickness is an enemy. Sickness is not a friend. Sickness is not something that God gave you to teach you a lesson. And I know we come from different church backgrounds. You've been taught different things, but we took 4 weeks to look at the Word of God. And it's absolutely clear. And if you just want to take one scripture, if you attend church here for very long, you are going to memorize the scripture, because I probably share it more than any other scripture in the Bible. And it's John 10, verse 10. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus made it very clear. Anything that's stealing from your life, robbing from you, destroying, killing. And how many know disease fits into that category? If you're sick and diseased, then you have been robbed of your health. You've been robbed of your joy. You've been robbed of your energy. You've been robbed of your ability to go out and be a blessing to others. I mean, if you're laying up in the hospital bed, there's not a whole lot of people you can be a blessing to, right? So it's very clear to me where sickness and disease comes from. Yeah, and then Jesus said, on the other hand, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Again, if you're laying sick in bed at home or in the hospital, you cannot tell me that you are experiencing abundant life in that situation. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have abundant life in every area of your life. So call unto the Lord and He'll save you from your enemies. And then again, Psalms verse 30, or excuse me, chapter 30, verse 2, David prayed. He said, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. I want to look at that one phrase. I cried out to you and you healed me. This idea of crying out to the Lord is a specific kind of prayer. Now, the Bible talks about all kinds of prayer. There's a prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, prayer of repentance, prayer of commitment, on and on it goes. Well, the prayer of crying out is a specific kind of prayer. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, if you had any kind of teaching along this line, but there is a specific biblically based type of prayer called the prayer of crying out. And it occurs many times in the Bible, most of the time in the book of Psalms. And there's a man, a Bible teacher many years ago, Bill Gothard. He wrote a book entitled The Power of Crying Out. The Power of Crying Out. And in that book, he says this. He said, crying out is, this is how he defines it, words spoken that spring from the depths of our being. He says, like fasting or kneeling, crying out is the scripture-sanctioned way to pray with intensity and commitment. praying with intensity and commitment. So crying out is not just mouthing ritual prayers, you know, that you just pray every day and you know you should be praying and, you know, I don't really know what to say, so you kind of, you know, get something out and you go on with your day. That's not crying out. That is not the prayer of crying out. Crying out is a cry that comes from the depths of your being. And it's often a cry of desperation. When you are in a place where you can't help yourself, you don't know of any other way to get help, and if God doesn't come through, you're in big trouble. You're in big doo-doo. Prayer of crying out. You know, when our children were young, they had a certain cry. I'm talking about when they were little kids. They had a certain cry that let us know that they were in trouble. There was just a certain tone about it. And when we heard that cry, basically what they were communicating was, Dad, Mom, I need help now. I'm hurt. I'm in trouble. I need some help. And I'm desperate. And would you, and that, you know, I mean, maybe it was even before they could talk. So they weren't mouthing those words, but there was an intensity in that cry that let us know what that we need to get, we need to spring into action. When we heard that, it's exactly what we did. We'd spring into action. Now, it was different than the run-of-the-mill cry of, my sister stole my toy and I'm very unhappy about it. You know, that's one kind of cry, but there's the other cry. You know what I'm talking about? How many parents do I got here? You know what I'm talking about? Well, David cried out to the Lord. And the scripture says that when we as his children cry out with that kind of intensity, the thing that the prayer that comes from the very depths of our soul, then our Heavenly Father is poised to respond quickly to the situation and to rescue us and to deliver us, no matter what the situation is. In Psalms 18, David cried out to the Lord. And I want you to look at how the Lord responded. This is Psalms 18, verse 6. David prayed, looking back, he said, in my distress, I called unto the Lord, and I cried out to my God. There's that prayer of crying out. I cried out to God. He heard my voice from his temple, and his cry came before, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Now, how did the Lord respond? Verse 13. The Lord thundered from heaven. And the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foes, lightning in abundance, and he vanquished them. Woo! You don't want to mess with God's kids. When God's kids cry out, God goes into Rambo mode. I just thought of that. I mean, literally, he goes into Rambo mode against your enemies. Whatever those enemies are, if it's fear, it's anxiety, it's sickness, it's whatever that enemy is, when you cry out to God, he hears you and he loads his whatever, you know, and he goes into Rambo mode against your enemies. I just think that's great. Go home and read the whole Psalms. The whole Psalm is about God responding to the cries of his kids and coming to destroy the enemy that's trying to take you out. Personal prayer. Here's another way that you can receive healing. Corporate prayer. This is getting other people to pray with you. And there's sometimes that we just need help getting our prayers answered. You know, we've had a situation, maybe you have physical disease or pain, infirmity, and you've been praying, and it just seems like you're not getting anywhere, and you're getting discouraged, and you're just wondering, you know, if God's even hearing you. And you just need some help to break you through and get you to that place of breakthrough so you can receive the healing that God has for you. We call that the prayer of agreement. And Jesus talks about it in Matthew 18. He says this, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I was going to share, I just remembered something that I had here. I wanted to share it earlier, but it'll fit here too. Whether it's personal prayer or corporate prayer, you know, a lot of folks, depending on the denomination you came from, you were taught that either God no longer heals or that he can heal if he wants to, but it's very sporadic. He'll do it occasionally if it's, you know, in his will, and otherwise he wants you to suffer. I want to tell you, even the medical community has come to understand the power of prayer for healing. I found this article. It's actually in the USA Today. It was a column in the USA Today newspaper. The title is, "Well-Known Doctor Acknowledges That Prayer Works and That It Has a Significant Impact on Patients." And so this well-known doctor says that he believes in the healing power of prayer, and he thinks that it can have a significant impact on patients' health. The doctor's name is Gary Onick, and he's a medical director at the Center for Cancer in Florida. And he says in this column that we need to pray for one another when we're sick. This is a quote from him. He says, "I have encountered at least one terminal cancer patient who was healed by prayer, the prayer effort on his behalf." He said, "Rather than dismiss this miracle as inconsistent with my rationally based training, I accepted the reality that prayer can have a significant impact on patient outcomes." This is a medical doctor who probably isn't even a believer. I don't know if he is or not, but maybe he is. But he recognizes the impact that praying for the sick can have on his patients. So just wanted to throw that in there in case there's some folks that are wondering, you know, is really God still in the healing business? Absolutely. He's still in the healing business. He was 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the planet, and the scriptures that he says he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, prayer of agreement. The word agree means to harmonize like an orchestra. The word agree actually comes from a Greek word, symphonia, from which we get our English word symphony. So you think about a symphony, lots of different instruments, but they are all playing in harmony together. Not playing the same notes. It's not the same musicians. They're not playing the same instruments. But when they play, they're harmonizing together. That is the prayer of agreement, where several people, a multitude sometimes, comes together, and we are harmonizing in our prayer. And praying in agreement is more than just holding hands and saying amen at the end of the prayer. It means that your lives, your hearts, and your prayers are in harmony, that they are in agreement. And there's a powerful spiritual synergy that happens when people come together and pray. There's an increased effectiveness that happens when believers come together and they pray and they harmonize. And they're praying the same kinds of prayers. They're believing for the same things. Their hearts and lives are in harmony. There's no division among them. There's no offense that's hidden that they're dealing with. Their lives are in harmony. And there's a wonderful scripture in Deuteronomy 32, verse 20. It says, "How can one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight?" Now, in my math, if one puts 1,000 to flight, then two are going to put what? 2,000. That's my math. God's math is different. One puts 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. How does that happen? I have no clue. I just know it happens according to Scripture. I'm just grateful it does. There's some kind of a divine synergy that happens when God's people come together and they pray. It just shakes heaven, and God hears and God answers. And if God's given us such a powerful weapon, how many believe we ought to use it? Amen? How many believe we ought to use that weapon? I just want to put a plug into something that we're going to start in July. We're going to start a corporate worship and prayer every Wednesday night here at the church throughout July and August. We don't have small groups, so there's no conflict there. And on the first Wednesday of every month, we're going to have our worship team here, and they're going to lead us in worship, and it's going to be a time of just more informal worship, a time to maybe spend a little bit longer in the presence of God, let the Holy Spirit flow and do what he wants to do. Then we're also going to have some times of prayer and intercession, and I hope to finish that off with some times of ministry. If you need prayer for healing or Maybe some prophetic prayers. We're going to release some of our prophetic people to minister to you and release the word of God into your life. And so that's going to happen starting the first Wednesday of July. And so I'm just putting a plug in that for that now, so you get that locked in your brain that every Wednesday, you have nothing better to do on Wednesday night during the summer. I'm telling you right now. It's better than going to Dairy Queen for an ice cream. It's better than anything you're going to watch on Netflix. Come on. Holy Spirit's going to be here. And I know you got to work on Wednesday. But you can get home and eat a TV dinner or put a corn dog and tater tots in the microwave and get yourself here by either 6:30 or 7. We haven't totally decided when we're going to start that. We'll let you know. But it's going to be worth your time. And here's the other thing. When we get together and pray, we're going to shake heaven and give the enemy a headache. In fact, we're going to give him a migraine headache. Because there are things that are going to happen. I mean, we could just coast through the summer if we want to. And, you know, I'm tempted to do that. I'm 66 years old. Sometimes I like to coast a little bit. But then the Holy Spirit wakes me up. No coasting allowed. You can coast when you get to heaven. That's what he tells me. No coasting allowed. Got eternity to coast. This is our time. This is our watch. There's no retiring, only refiring. And doing the will of God until we take the last breath. And then we can rest. This is not a time to rest, folks. I don't care how old you are. Some of you guys are retirement age. You just want to kick back, get your motor home, drive around, and sit on your front porch and drink your lemonade. No! Not in the kingdom of God. Now, you can retire from your job, but you can't retire from your service in the kingdom to your Heavenly Father. There is no retirement. If you try to retire from the kingdom, I will find you. I will look you up. I will give you a job personally to do. What was I even saying? I was going somewhere. Corporate prayer, that's right. There's things going to happen. We can coast through the summer, or we can get on our knees, we can cry out to God and see the hand of God move in the church, in your family, in your life, in the community. How many have something that needs to happen in your family? There's a change that needs to happen. Your marriage needs a miracle. Your body needs healing. There's some family members that are AWOL from Christ. They are prodigals. They are out living in the pig pen. And you have prayed and nothing's really happened. You haven't seen anything. There's something going to happen when we get together and pray together over these things. How many think something needs to happen in our nation? In our government? How many think something needs to happen with the lost in our community? Yes. Jesus said the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. That's one of the things we're going to be praying for the harvest. We're going to focus on about 7 different things every week. We're going to pray for the harvest. We're going to pray for the government. We're going to pray for a minute. We're going to pray for about 7 different things. But one of the things is we're going to pray for the heart. We're going to be believing that lost people are going to get convicted and find their way to Bible-believing churches all over the Dalles. We're going to be believing and praying that God will cause your path to intersect with unbelievers. Suddenly, all of a sudden, there they are, and you have an opportunity to be a witness, to be salt and light in their life. We're going to be praying for that. Amen? How many? I don't want to be the only person here. How many know you can't have the prayer of agreement with one person? I need some help. And I know you're going to feel every excuse under the book. Oh, I'm so tired. I had such a bad day. I'm so stressed out. I just can't go to that prayer meeting tonight. I'm warning you in advance what the enemy's going to do, so that you can push through it and come. Praise God. That was a good commercial, don't you think? All right, here's the fourth way that you can receive healing. in your body. Prayer from spiritual leaders. Prayer from church leaders. James writes about this in James chapter 5. He says, James chapter 5, verse 13, he says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. So first of all, God wants you to learn how to do your own praying. We just talked about praying with others, but don't expect everybody else to always do your praying for you. When I was a young Christian, whenever I got in trouble, I'd go see my dad. Because I knew my dad knew how to pray. I knew my dad knew how to touch heaven. I knew my dad, he like had this hotline to heaven. And if he prayed, God heard. And so I just went to him. I got in trouble. Things were going on. I was in a mess. I was in a pit. I just went to him. He prayed, and God heard, and he gave me steps to do. This went on for 2 or 3 years. And then God began to speak to me. He said, I want you to stop doing that. He said, you need to learn how to pray yourself. You need to learn how to come to me and hear my voice and get answers for yourself. Because he said, this is exactly what he said. Your dad's not going to be around forever. And it's time for you to grow up. Yeah. How many know we need to grow up? Yeah. When you're a baby Christian, maybe you don't know how to pray. You can get somebody, you know, just get somebody to pray with you. That's all right. Find a mature person. They'll pray with you. But sooner or later, God's going to expect you to learn how to pray yourself and get answers to prayer. Amen? Yeah. Then James goes on, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. So the first thing you need to do is call the leaders of the church. Call the leaders of the church. I don't know about other pastors, but I'm not a mind reader. And I've heard so many stories of people who are sick in bed at home or in the hospital, and they got offended because nobody came and prayed for them. But they didn't pick up the phone and call the church to let us know that they need prayer. I'm not a mind reader. Pastor Barrett, are you a mind reader? He's not a mind reader either. There are no mind readers here. You got to call. If you call, I guarantee you we will come. It's like the old saying, you build it and they will come. You call and we will come. And we will pray. Praise God. Second thing that the leaders are going to do, they're going to anoint you with oil. That's what the scripture said, anoint them with oil. Now, I usually take a little vial like this. I don't even know what's in here. They say it's oils from Israel. I have no idea. It might have been made in San Francisco for all I know, and they just put that label on it. And usually what I do is I take a little dab and I put it on your forehead. You know what they did in the Old Testament? They took a flask of oil and poured it over your head. Maybe we ought to go back to that. You might need a shower after we prayed, but who knows? Now I want to tell you, the oil does not heal you. There's some modern day theologians, you can find them in various commentaries. They'll try to explain this verse away by saying, well, there was medicinal qualities in the oil and that healed them. Makes me sick when I read stuff like that. The oil does not heal you. The Holy Spirit heals you. Oil throughout the Bible is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And it's just an outward thing that we do to help you engage your faith. Amen. Rick Renner, well-known Bible teacher, he said this about the anointing of oil. He said, by anointing the sick person with oil, the elder uses a tangible substance to declare that the Spirit of God is coming upon the infirmed to bring his healing power. That's all it is. The oil doesn't heal, but it's a tangible substance to declare that the Spirit of God is coming upon the infirmed to bring healing. Amen? It's really a signal. When we anoint you with oil and pray, that is the signal for you at that moment to release your faith and to begin to believe that God is working in your body. I don't know if I... No, I didn't add that. But basically, when we lay hands on... Are we on... No, that's down the road. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Anyway, don't focus on the symptoms. Here's what happens so many times. Elders come, or maybe it's somebody else praying for you. Pray, and nothing happens. There's no change. Symptoms are still there. The pain's still there. And so what happens in our mind, doubt begins to creep in. And it's so important that we don't let that happen. We just have to believe that, according to Scripture, when we pray the prayer of faith, God goes to work in that sick person's body, and that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in that situation. I'm going to say a little bit more of that on the next one. Here's the fifth way that we can receive healing. It's called the laying on of hands. This is where every believer can get involved in praying for the sick. Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus says this, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe." Who are the signs going to follow? How many believers do we have here? If you're a believer, you qualify for these signs to follow you. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to be saved for 10, 15, 20 years. The moment you receive Christ, you qualify as a believer. These signs can follow you. What are the signs? "In my name, they will drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them." This is talking about supernatural protection. It is not talking about stupidly handling poisonous snakes or drinking poison to see if you will live. That's dumb, and you deserve to die if you do that. Then it goes on to say, "They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well." They'll place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Jesus promised that when we lay hands on the sick in faith and obedience, His power is released into the sick person's body through the hands of the person who's praying. Healing virtue or power is deposited into the sick person's body. The power of God begins to attack the sickness and disease and progressively bring the sick person back to health. That's what happens. Now, the healing can be instantaneous or it can be progressive over time. And my experience is that most of the time, it is progressive. Most of the time, it is a process that begins the moment we pray, and then it happens over time. That could be hours, that could be days, that could be weeks, that could even be months that we have to stand firm. But we need to believe that the moment we laid hands on the sick, the power of the Holy Spirit was deposited in the sick person's body. That power is destroying the sickness, driving the sickness out of their body, and restoring that person to health. Amen? We prayed for a woman in our small group Wednesday who had severe neck pain and had a difficult time just even turning her neck. She was in a lot of pain and having a very difficult time even working with that pain. So we laid hands on her Wednesday night. Thursday afternoon, she received some more prayer. Friday morning, she texted my wife. She said, "The pain is 90% gone." It was progressive. Now, she could have said after we prayed Wednesday night and the thing, you know, symptoms were the same, "Well, that prayer thing doesn't work. I guess I'll go to plan B," whatever that is. I mean, that's the thing that a lot of people do. Instead of hanging in there and believing that God is working in the situation. You know, Jesus healed a lot of people by laying his hands on them. Luke 4, verse 40 says, "At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one of them, he healed them." There might have been thousands. At times, the crowds were thousands, and he laid his hands on every single one. Now, that's not the only way he healed. Sometimes he put mud on somebody's eyes, and there's a lot of different ways that he healed. Sometimes he just spoke the word, and they were healed. But many, many times he laid hands on the sick person and they were healed. And that might have been instantaneous. It might have been a process. So our part is to believe. Just believe. Keep believing that God's power is working in that situation. Man, I had more to say on that, but I'm going to move on. Here's the sixth way that we can receive healing is through spiritual gifts. God has equipped the body of Christ with spiritual gifts. There's nine of them listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And spiritual gifts to me are power tools in the kingdom. Yeah, if you're in the construction business, you know, you can get the job done with a manual tool, but you can get it done easier and faster with a power tool. How many like power tools? So the kingdom, the spiritual gifts are power tools in the kingdom. And God has equipped his church with these power tools to bring healing, to bring deliverance and freedom. And let me just define a spiritual gift. It is an extraordinary power or ability given by the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose in the life of people. It's an extraordinary or supernatural power or ability given by the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose in the life of people. Now the scripture said in 1 Corinthians 12:4, there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he chooses. You don't get to choose your gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes. 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so that we can help each other. So the spiritual gift is not for your benefit. The gift is for the benefit of others. 1 Corinthians 12 lists nine of these gifts. Four of them, in my understanding, can be used to bring healing to people who are sick and diseased. Four out of the nine. There's gifts of healing. There's gifts of miracles. There's gifts of faith. And there's also the gift of the word of knowledge. Some point in the future, I'm going to just spend an entire session on these gifts of the Spirit. And we'll get into this. So, if I was in need of healing, one of the things I would do is do my best to find people in the body of Christ who are gifted with the gift of healing or the gift of miracles, the gift of faith, and get them to pray for me and release that gift. Hallelujah. Okay, here's the final way I'm going to share this morning. Is it warm in here? It seems warm. Here's the final way. Obedience to God's voice. Obedience to God's voice. This is so important. So many times we pray for people. We don't see the answer. But what we don't understand, now listen to me, this is very important. What we don't understand is that behind the scenes, there is often steps of obedience that God is requiring that person to take in order to put themselves in a position to receive healing. God wants to heal them. The work has already been done on the cross. But yet, often there are steps of obedience that God wants them to take in order to position themselves to receive that healing. I'm thinking of the guy that Jesus healed, the blind man. And Jesus made some mud and put it on his eyes. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he obeyed, he was healed. I think about Naaman the leper. The instructions were go dip in the Jordan River seven times, and when you do, you'll be healed. I think about the 10 lepers and Jesus that came to Jesus for healing. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went to obey, they were healed. I'm going to share one last scripture. I'm going to invite Bobby to come and just briefly share her testimony on this, and then we'll be done. The scripture is Exodus 15:26. And God says, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God, it's so important. If you need healing, you need to tune your ears in to the Holy Spirit and any kind of instruction that he might be giving you. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. The Hebrew there is, I am the Lord your physician. I am the Lord your doctor. God wants to be your doctor. However, there might be situations that your healing is dependent on steps of obedience that God is speaking into your heart. So Bobby, come grab that microphone and share your testimony with us. Anywhere you want to go.
So, before I jump into that, I just want to say David is also a living testimony because 28 years ago, he had an accident and was paralyzed. And through taking God's word as medicine, personal prayer, corporate prayer, prayer of spiritual leaders, and obedience, I mean, obviously he's not, you know, paralyzed anymore. God did a miracle there. So, hallelujah. For me, David asked me to give this testimony because several years back, it has been several years, probably 18 years ago, I got sick, and I just originally, I thought it was the flu. And so, you know, I kind of rolled over, what I refer to as rolling over. I just thought, well, I'm just, you know, I'm going to go through this for a week and, you know, it'll go away and I'll be fine. You know, I didn't apply what I knew to apply, which was the Word of God from the onset of sickness. And let me just encourage you, don't roll over, okay? If you're starting to be attacked physically, then you start fighting according to the Word. But I didn't. So a week went to 2 weeks, went to 3 weeks, and pretty soon I'm thinking, wow, I'm sick. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to trust in me, obey me, don't worry about it, trust in me. And pretty soon I was working in the medical community back then, and I thought, man, I just need to go to the doctor and find out what it is. And the Holy Spirit's telling me, you don't need to know what it is, you just need to trust in me and believe. And it was this battle, and finally, it'd been a month, and so David's like, well, just go to the doctor then. And I'm like, okay. So I go to the doctor, they run all these tests, and I think, okay, I'm going to find out what it is, and then I can fight it, which is a stupid lie, especially when the Holy Spirit's telling you, you don't need to know what it is, okay? So there's some disobedience in me right there. So a few days later, maybe a week later, they finally call me on the phone, and it's the doctor. And I'm like, I'm going to find out what it is. And she's Mrs. Clear. She says, we've run all these tests, but we cannot tell you what it is. And as soon as she said that, I heard the Holy Spirit say, you don't need to know what it is. You just need to believe and trust in me. And then she says, but Mrs. Clear, it's... And by the way, I was losing weight like crazy. I mean, I could not eat, okay? And so she says, but if we need to run you through more tests, which I need to jump through a bunch of hoops, need to go through a bunch of testing, which may not tell anything. And she says, but Mrs. Clear, if we don't find out what it is, you're grievously sick and you could die if we don't find out what this is. So I hang up and I'm like, either more testing, the doctor's route, which we have nothing against doctors, but God's first. Or I'm going to trust and believe in what God is telling me, and I don't need to know what it is, but I'm going to. And so I decided that day, and I had three little children. My son was only two, maybe not even that old. And I said, God, this day I purpose and choose, I'm going to put all my eggs in your basket, and I am going to believe you in your word, or I'm going to die. But I declare I'm not going to die because you are faithful. So from that point on, I just started getting into the word. You know, Isaiah, all the scriptures on healing, by your stripes, ye were healed. Okay, I started just soaking in that. I would get Kenneth Hagin teaching tapes on his divine healing, and I was just gorging myself, if you will, but I was still losing weight. I was still getting sick. But every time I would get sick, I wouldn't say, oh, wow, I'm sick. No, 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 no. I guarded my mouth. I said, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, I am healed. I declare I am healed, because you've got to fight the doubt, the fear, and the unbelief. And the only way to fight the doubt, fear, and unbelief is through the Word of God. And you have to speak it out of your mouth. You can't think it. You have to speak it. You have to declare it. You have to fight it, because it is a battle for your life. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's a wrestling match to the death. And I knew this. But I still was getting more sick. I was still losing weight. I was still not feeling well. And then I would always have my prayer time in the morning, and I'm weak, and I'm sick, and I'm tired, and crampy, and all I could eat was rice and bananas. I don't care for bananas and rice anymore. And I'm having my prayer time. Couldn't even enjoy coffee. Like, wow. Anyway, I'm having my prayer time in the morning. And I'm like, Lord, I know. See, this is that personal prayer. Lord, I know sickness is not from you. You have got to determine that sickness is not from God. Because if you believe anything else, you are believing a lie. and you need to kill the lie. But I knew the truth, and the truth was, sickness is not from you, Lord. So I'm in my prayer time. I'm like, Lord, I know sickness is not from you. I don't understand what's going on. Lord, did I humble yourself before the Lord? Lord, did I do anything to open the door to the enemy in my life? And to my surprise, I had. And he said, yeah. And as soon as he said that, I knew exactly what he was talking about. See, we have got to seek the Lord to show us our heart. Because our heart's deceitfully wicked and we don't always know what's going on. And as soon as he told me, I realized, oh my gosh, I have a deep offense towards two women in the church. So immediately I knew what to do. I'm supposed to forgive. So I forgave both of them, deeply forgave them. And then I said, okay, Lord, now what do I do? He says, okay, the one, just let it go. Forget it. It's good. It's done. The other one, you need to go to. And so I said, okay. So I went to the other person and I talked over the offense, and it turned out, whoa, surprise, it was a misunderstanding. And that's usually the case. So I did that. And I was still taking in the word of God and people. It was obvious I was sick now because I was pale and I was getting really skinny, and people would come up, well-meaning people. But it would wreck me. Because, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, you know, sometimes people's pity is not what you need. You don't need people's pity at all, by the way. You don't need them to know your details. And I would have to run home. And they would say, oh, you look so sick. I would have to run home and get back in the Word and just gorge myself and get the doubt out, get the fear out, get the unbelief out. It was a battle, but that I knew was the thing to do. And I would lay on my bed and I would say, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. I am healed. Thank you. I mean, and I came up with my own little verbiage because I'm just quirky that way. Lord, I thank you that I am healed. And if I am healed, I is healed. It wasn't grammar, but God doesn't care. And so then I'm like, Lord, I believe your word. I know it's true. And he says, Bobby, I want you to go away now. I want you to be set apart. Go away. So I told David, I said, I need to go away. He says, go away. So I went away. I went to Portland. I didn't have any clothes to fit me anymore because I'd just lost so much weight. And so I went shopping. How many of you know shopping can sometimes be therapeutic? But I spent a lot of time in my hotel room alone, just praying and seeking the Lord. And I couldn't eat anything anyway, so I was fasting. I can't say that anything great happened in the hotel room, but then God said, it's time to go home now. Okay. He says, and I want you to get 5 women in the church to pray for you. I said, okay. And he says, and I asked him, I said, which 5, Lord? And he told me, and 2 of the 5 were the 2 women that I just previously had offense towards. So I said, okay. But there was no offense there anymore. So I come home. I tell these ladies, I would like you to pray for me. We went back into the back room one Sunday after church, I guess. And they're all praying for me. And I don't remember a thing they prayed. I'm sure they were really great prayers. But what I do remember, now, I had a very close relationship with my father-in-law, David's dad. And he had died, about two years prior to that. He was a godly man. He was a father to me. He was my pastor. He was many things to me. He had taught me everything I knew up to that point. And the Lord revealed to me in this time, it wasn't anything anybody prayed, maybe it was, I don't know. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to forgive Norman for dying. And I realized, oh, again, a deep wound to the heart. I said, oh, yeah, I do. And so right then and there, I forgave him for dying. Oh, yeah, and forgive him for abandoning you because you felt abandoned when he died. I said, yeah, I did. So I forgave him for abandoning me. And he says, Bobby, because you connected him so closely to me when he died and left you, you felt that I left you. And it was a revelation. I'm like, and I knew the scripture, God never leaves you nor forsakes you, but it was a deep wound of my heart. We need to understand these things because we're body, soul, and spirit. What affects our body is usually our soul wounds. And I said, oh God, you're right. Lord, please forgive me. Now I was repenting. I was forgiving. Now I'm repenting. Lord, forgive me for doubting you, that you would ever leave me. Because I know that you would never. Lord, I see that now, and I am so sorry. Please forgive me. So there was this wound from the death of my father-in-law. Now, I'd like to say as soon as I left that room, physically manifested healing, but I didn't. But I kept doing the things I knew to do according to the word of God. I kept declaring. I kept rebuking. I kept worshiping the Lord for all his goodness and power and glory. And I wasn't going to lose my ground to the enemy. Even though physically I probably lost 50 or 60 pounds. And it was months. Okay, this wasn't just a few weeks, people. You got to be in it to be in it for as long as it takes, and trust that God is going to get you through. And so then I'm still worshiping, I'm still listening. And then one day, I'm in my shower. And all of a sudden, I can only tell you, it's almost like a little light bulb came on. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. I knew all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm healed. Nothing had changed. Nothing. Even, in fact, before I got in the shower, I got sick. Okay. Nothing had changed. But from that point on, from that point, I started being able to eat. I started, you know, normal. And clearly I'm not dead. So if I wouldn't have done, well, first of all, if I wouldn't have taken God's word as my medicine to begin with, if I would have been wishy-washy and had a plan B, I didn't give myself the liberty for plan B, because plan B is doubt and unbelief. I didn't do that. I got personal prayer. I got prayer from spiritual leaders. I got the laying on of hands. And I'm sure somebody had spiritual gifts that was praying for me. Maybe one of those five women. But had I not done the next part of, Lord, what is it in me? Did I open the door and allowed him to show me something? But not only that, if I wouldn't have done what he told me to do with that knowledge, I would probably be dead. And my children would not have had a mother. So I can't stress to you how important. And he gave me promises. Not only did he give me Isaiah, but somewhere in the midst of it, I remember he gave me the end of Psalms 139. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And I mean, it jumped out and I'm like, whoa, right there. Hello, demons, devil, sickness. God has promised me long life. He has promised me long life, and he's going to show me his salvation in this situation. And I stood on that. You've promised me I'm going to have long life. You already healed me from sickness, infirmity, and disease because you carried it on you. You've got to have these revelations. You've got to stand on these. But then you also have to be obedient in the process. Whatever your journey, whatever your process, it might be different than mine. But God is always speaking to us, and he's always giving us good direction. Are we listening, and are we obeying is the question. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. So I'm gonna release you to go, but we have a ministry team that I'm gonna invite to come up. They're gonna be up here in front. If you need prayer for sickness, disease, pain, or any other thing, we want you to come up and receive that prayer. So ministry team, if you guys would come up, and I'll pray and I'll release us to go. It's been good to be in God's house today. Good to be in worship and hear the word of God. So Lord, we just thank you again that you are our healer, our physician. And Lord, you are so good. And Lord, you are so good in so many different ways. We open our heart to you as we leave this place. Father, I just pray that you lead and guide every single person, bless them, protect them. And Lord, help us to press in to receive everything that you have already provided for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.